Sunday morning, September 25th.
Oh, Lord, we ask for your blessing on our service. Again, that truth would flow and that we would receive that truth. That it would not be head knowledge kind of receiving, that we would receive it in our very essence, our soul, our spirit, our very inner core, the thing that we are, that we would receive your truth through that good work by your spirit. Amen.
Amen. Bonnie, how has Ben doing?
That's okay. He's been way up.
How are you doing? Are you okay? I mean, to pray for Ben.
Yeah.
And Bonnie.
I'd like Pablo and Candy to pray for Ben.
Oh, you went over and prayed for
him? No, not yet.
She wants us to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right now, or do you want to come over?
Yeah, I want you to come over, but it's he's at his daughter's house in Elko.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I told you I'm just over. Right now? I mean, we can wait till after church.
You can pray right now, too, for him.
Do you want us to go there this afternoon? I mean, is it this afternoon or tomorrow?
Well,
is it that?
Whatever works best, because, it's your time.
Whatever you want, we'll do.
I just feel it's urgent.
Good, I will go.
Yeah, just give me your address.
Just give me the address?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to say it right now.
I'd rather show it to you. I mean, you can follow me.
Okay.
But we could still pray as a.
Yeah, we should pray now.
Group.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Lord, that you're, we ask for a special healing anointing upon Pablo and Candy here, that there would just be healing power. Prepare the way even now, Lord, but that there would be healing power there in a mighty way. Just
Lord, he's doing over.
Oh, yes, Lord.
By your care, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, speak to him, Lord God. You let him feel you.
Yes.
I mean, right now, Lord, let Ben feel the presence of you right now. Give him the peace that passes all understanding, Lord. You just touch him in a mighty, mighty way, Lord. You have a great physician. You have the plan of his life in your hands, Lord.
Yes.
Now we just give it to you.
Yes.
Right now, because we don't know. We don't know, Lord, but you do.
Yes.
And we ask that you touch Bonnie right now. Mm. Touch her mama.
Yes.
It's always hard, Lord. Touch her mama.
Yes.
Give her a peace, a complete, total peace that she is in the palm of your hand and knows exactly the things she needs to know, Lord, about Ben and his life with you. And we thank you, Lord, for this, for a miracle.
Yes.
However you choose to make the miracle. Whereas, a miracle is a miracle, Lord. Whether he goes home or he stays here, it's a miracle. So I thank you, Lord, right now for that.
Yes.
Just touch everyone involved, the kids and all. The whole family, yes. Just touch each and every one of them, Lord.
Lord, thank you for the miracle that you've done in him up to this point, that he's been here as long as he has.
That's right.
Amen.
You've left him here on this
earth.
Amen. With loved ones, Lord.
Yes.
Even though he's suffering and whatever, but you did do that, Lord, way beyond what was expected.
All right.
So we give you thanks, glory, and honor.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Now, you had something in mind, Lord. That was so strange. That was strange. And Lord, we know that, you know, more years here on earth are better than fewer years, ordinarily. But the big one, the big thing, is to spend eternity with you in heaven. That is, that's big. That's the big one. That's the big one. Everything else is pretty minor. So, Lord, we ask, oh, Jesus, that, I've known Ben to have had a sweet relationship with you, a real and a sweet relationship with you. Lord, we ask, oh, Jesus, that that would just, be the thing that is operating in his life, regardless of what goes on today, that that would be the thing that operates in his life through his last day on this earth, whether it be in 2022 or 2042, whatever, whatever. Thank you.
I've had a lot on my mind this past week, for lots of various reasons. All good, by the way. It was close, but I pulled it out in the end. One of the things that's kind of on my mind is that we are being blessed by watching a miracle is taking place in Pablo on a daily basis.
Sure.
And that is really exciting. And yet, there's a danger in that. If we spend so much time talking about experiences and not remaining focused on the Word, we can lose our way. And for this church especially, we need to keep our eyes on the Word and prayer, and not chase so much the experience, because we're not here getting together every Sunday to be entertained. We're here to get closer to God. And so it's a tough balance, because we get lifted up by hearing about miracles in the Scripture. I mean, Jesus himself said, you know, these signs and wonders are here to help you believe.
Mm-hmm.
But I can speak personally that if you're not careful, you get out of balance. You've got to stay in the Word day and night. And you have to be diligently seeking the Word of God, and then let the miracles happen. So as we testify, which we have had a lot of testimonies, let's keep that in mind. Let's bring our testimonies back to what God is doing and how it lines up with Scripture, and keep our focus, because it is so easy to get lost. Really good people with really good hearts, they're not focused on Scripture. It starts to get a little hazy. A darkened image, you know, which kind of led me to, so what is it I need to be doing? Right, so I want to read a few scriptures. Matthew 5, starting in verse 3, which we've all heard, so bear with me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, you have all heard the Beatitudes at least 1,000 times. It's exaggeration, at least 100 times in this church. But I haven't heard them lately. And what was interesting about this is Susan and I were having a discussion, one of the rare times that we were actually talking to each other. And we were going back and forth about 7 times 70 and forgiving. You know, and I thought, well, that's got to be covered in the Beatitudes. But if you look, not exactly. So I don't know if forgiving one another 7 times 70 is the 10th Beatitude, but it's certainly in there. You know, so I sure hope that as I've gone through my walk, that if I've offended you in any way, that you can just give me one more of the 7 times 70 and know it's not my heart. Because my heart is not to offend anyone. I probably do it by talking too much and worrying about things too much, because that's me. But I'm so excited what God is doing in all of us, and I just felt it would be good to remind us of the things we need to be to stay on the path for eternal life. Because the rest of this stuff is kind of gravy. I mean, everything that happens here is kind of gravy. Eternal life is where we want to be. At least, that's where I want to be. I'm assuming you do, but I won't, you know, speak for you. Anyways.
It's in there, Corky. Mm-hmm. Maybe not in the yet. It's in there.
I have a quick little, just a little thing on one scripture saying here that I heard in Matthew 9. And it's right at the beginning of the chapter. Jesus is discussing with those that are kind of coming against him. I'll start chapter, verse 1. So he got in the boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic laying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And at once, some of the scribes and within themselves said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. And this is the part that touch him. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God. Now, I think a lot of people would automatically assume that they're marveling, glorifying Jesus as God. But it says, now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to, and it doesn't say to this man, it says to men.
Mm-hmm.
This is for us also.
That's right. Yeah.
To men, you know. And so they were glorifying God that he had done this mighty work through his son, Jesus Christ. That's where I'm seeing it. I don't say that's totally correct or not, but that's the way I've been seeing it lately. And it was just encouraging when I picked up the fact that it said men, not man, you know, which meant it's for many,
mm-hmm.
whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
Is that
it's available to all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little thing. Okay.
Yeah, maybe I'll throw one more thing out here. I've been going over a lot of just listening. And it's interesting when you realize that God, who could want to be like center stage in everything if he wanted to, doesn't. And the amazing thing is everything that is to be for us is in one name, Jesus. It's the name above every name on heaven and earth, in heaven and earth. And when you read through, you just hear all kinds of different testimonies to that, or witnessing of that. And Jesus even says, in my name, you know, sins are forgiven in his name, my repentance is given in his name, baptism is done in his name. Everything is based because God set it up that way. God said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And later it says, I have given him the name above every name in heaven and earth. So there is no other name that we need to use, you know, if we want to represent the Father, because that was his representation. So just kind of keep that in mind as you're listening and reading, and see how often the reference is made to the power in the name of Jesus Christ. Lots of, you know, they pray for healing, they pray for casting out demons is in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything is, really, if you look at it. So I'm just throwing that out there too, to just kind of listen for that. It's amazing. I never realized how often it was referenced and how important that name is, you know. It's important.
I think I, certainly, maybe we, but I need a greater revelation of who Jesus was. Maybe that's, you know, obvious, but, you know, we know him to be a man, and as Ken was pointing out, they didn't say they gave, you know, it was given such power to men, not a particular man, Jesus just being one of them. And yet, there is power in that name of Jesus, power that is kind of like, what's the difference between that and divine power? In a sense, there isn't. I just cannot fully sort that out in my mind. I need a greater revelation as to the fact that, yes, he's a man, but there was still such power in that name.
And actually, I think we see that the power that comes to men from that point on is through the name of Jesus Christ. You know, it's not that God just gives power. It's got to come through his son, obviously, and that's why it came through his son personally, you know. And that doesn't, you know, I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, but I felt like I received a revelation about the Father, and that he was kind of getting shortchanged. In a way, he was at the time, the way we were addressing Jesus and everything, it kind of just kind of let the Father out of the picture, you know, and it's all of this, everything, is because of him. You know, he gave the Word, he gave the Son, God is everything. He controls everything. He knows everything that's going on. So, you know, I always refer to both if I need to or feel like it in my prayers, you know. And acknowledge them both, thank them both, you know. And because God is, he's just so amazing. And he is such a father, you know. If anybody doesn't have an earthly father, then you need to go to him, because he can certainly fill the role, you know.
And he can be so gentle and sweet and loving, merciful, you know. If he wants to convict you, he does it gently most of the time. You know, some of us every once in a while need a 2x4, but, you know. It's just to know the Father and the Son and know their different relationships is really important. You know? Yes, they are one, but we are one with them also. So it still means you can keep the separation and still be one, you know. Lord,
are you sure you're not describing the Holy Spirit?
You know, are you done, Charlie? No interrupt. That, you know, being one, I always wonder, just like you said, you know, the Father and I are one, Jesus says, but we are one with Jesus.
Right.
So I wonder if that one that the Bible speaks of is not the mathematical one that we're used to. It's a one as in united, more than in one as this.
I bet that's right.
You know what I mean? It's like, because, and I think that God did this just to help me at least understand. He said, Candy and I, when we are married, are one flesh.
Yeah.
Okay. How? No. There's Candy, there's me, I don't see one flesh.
It's like two.
Right, there's two. No. Jesus says we are one flesh, so actually we are one flesh. Now, do we understand how that works? No. But the Bible, that's what it says, and that's what it is. But, again, I wonder if that one, I am one with Jesus, Jesus is one with the Father, we are all one. Again, it's not the one as in okay, is there a math book so I can get a definition of what does one mean? No, it's united. United so close. Like when you get water and flour, you got two ingredients and you mix them together and you got this one new thing. It's like the same thing. You know, and you can separate them in little things of little. But put it all together, it's still one. That's what I feel, at least, that when Jesus is saying, you know, we're one. Or
well, it says we're one body.
We're one body.
There's all kinds of parts.
Right.
The one thing I'll say, I know there's one that I know for sure.
Right. Right.
There's only one God.
Right.
Yes.
You know.
Right.
We were talking the other night. And I said, I wonder how many, because in the Old Testament, God really explains who he is a lot. Mm-hmm. And I said something about, I don't know how many times he refers to who he is. And so Corky looked it up quick, and there's something like 450 times that he refers to himself as one God, no other God beside me, you know. Well, you know, for some reason, a lot of the, somehow, humanity decided they wanted to change that.
Right.
And decide who God was now in the New Testament. And, of course, you know, that's just man and his feudal thing. But, and I kind of feel it happened because after Jesus walked and the disciples ministered, that after years, maybe 100, whatever, 200 years, they lost the Holy Spirit. And then they started thinking in human terms more than in scriptural terms and come up with the Trinity, you know. And because God doesn't change. Why would he change from the Old Testament to the New Testament? You know, other than that, he made a new covenant, which he can do. And it made it more glorious for us, you know. But he still is one God, you know. And I don't know, I don't see how that can change anywhere, you know.
It doesn't.
Yeah, it's just so. But I think that's being made and will be made really evident in the days to come. Because I really think it's the time. You know, there's just too many things relating to that and things that are going on. But I just know he's going to in that area, he's going to bring a truth to the church in general, you know, that whosoever will receive, fine, you know. I'm laughing here. I had an experience here about a week or so ago with things happening here and everything. I got kind of a, I started fearing and trembling in my salvation a little bit. I just felt like I was losing ground a little bit, and I knew why. And I've known it for a long time. It's been there. But I'm not even sure exactly what that is at this point. But so it brought me to a place of repentance before the Lord, because I just realized I don't want all this that he's given, and I'll just speak for me personally, you know, with truth and the word being food, and that's my life, and I want eternal life. But I also want to, you know, share that with other people, and I haven't much, you know, whatever. So I made the confession, and there's been a change, but, you know, it still takes a commitment on my part to keep that going forward. And so it's like, you can be, I mean, I just am amazed at how much mercy he's had, because I've had this thing in the way, and yet he kept revealing little truths to me all along, you know. I'm thinking, Lord, you're just merciful and gracious. That's why, you know. But then I got to the point where I was thinking, I don't know how long suffering he's going to be with me if I don't change. So it's slowly coming about, you know, and it's really early, so I don't want to give a lot of glory, you know, because who knows, I'm human. Don't want to be real human, but, you know, but I live in this world. And so, anyway, all this, these things in the scripture is what's really helping to propel that, you know, that new walk I want. And so, just going before the Lord and praying. And I really want this word to be my foundation.
You know, let me throw a little ball at you, a little something that I think helps. There's a scripture that says, trust in the Lord your God with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I take that and apply it to everything you read in the Word of God. Not most of it. All of it. Just like we were talking about this one thing. You know, yeah, I think this, or you think that. Yeah. But still, lean not to your own understanding. If you can't lean to your own understanding, don't lean to mine.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
That's good.
Don't lean
exactly.
to anyone's.
Yeah.
So just take the word at face value. Face value. That is what it's meant to be treated. Take it at face value, eat it up. And after you eat it, let the digestion do its digestion. Let your spirit worry about the rest. You know what I mean? Who cares that it doesn't make sense to our brains, our little piece of junk brain? Good for nothing. You know what I mean? Our brains are going to last, you know, I'd say 100 years on Earth. Before that, it didn't exist, and after that, it's not going to exist. Then it's going to be God's eternity. There's going to be a new body with no brain, I hope. And so your brain is not, you've said this 100 times, you know, don't use your brain. Right? But my brain, our brain, is not really our best friend. When you got to the things of God.
No.
Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Lord, yes.
I just felt to read that because I think it's important.
Yes. And then his instruction that we come to him as little children.
Oh, my God,
yes.
Boy, that is, you know, I try to, I really try to make that, and it's hard, but that, he says it several times. I don't think, it's not a small throwaway scripture, it's fundamental, it's fundamental to what our relationship with him used to be, and, you know, there's problems with kids. Leading to their own understanding is not one of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me add a hair to that scripture. It says, unless you become like little children, and that's not everything, you will by no means, you know what I mean? You know, if I let a children, a little someone, read the Bible, he will never, never, ever, ever, ever come out with the same smart things that I come up with. With the same, some of the things that we discussed. Never. Well, you know what? I've been doing this for a long time. And my brain says, my smartness says this and that and this and that and this and that. Yeah. But that's exactly what the Bible, what God himself says not to do. Not to do. Not to do. Because unless you will by no means. What happens when we rely on our experience, on our how long we've been doing this? Huh? That's where we go down the chute to nowhere. And that nowhere is there's no heaven in that nowhere. You know, it's very easy. The Bible actually says, actually forget about it or worry about it more than worry about it and decipher it. It's easier to become like a little children, to don't lean in your own understanding. When you do lean in your own understanding, when you do become more than not like a little children, it's when it gets complicated and you're out of the kingdom. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. It's that simple.
You know, human beings being what they are, it is a gift from the Lord to be able to have our understanding be as little children, or
yes,
to be as little children. Yes. We don't have the wherewithal to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift from the Lord.
I think humans have been established and almost determined to not understand from the get-go, even in Bible times. How many times Jesus would say, go tell what great thing God did. You know, he did the miracle. He said, go say what great thing God did, because he did not glorify himself. He said, all things are through my Father. He trusted him. And they would go say, what great thing Jesus did. And I used to think nothing of that until I stopped. You know, I was listening to it, and it had said that. And said, and he went and told them all what great things Jesus had done. And I was like, oh, that sounds like not obeying. That doesn't sound like what Jesus just said, but that's what he went and did. And in the Bible times, like the Pharisees and everything, they didn't want you, Jesus. They wanted them to not do these things because it did not align with what they believed and what the church had going on, and they already had what they had and had learned. And so from the get-go, religion has not wanted Jesus, has not wanted God in control, because then we can't be in control. And just kind of shifted from what is true to what they saw. Because they saw Jesus do that thing, and to them, maybe that's the same. But that's where given eyes you don't see and ears you don't understand or hear and understand. So it's interesting to see that in so many places where Jesus, all he did was say, God did this. And all of the scary things coming at him, you can't do anything to me unless my Father lets you. Which makes being in front of a lion a lot easier if you actually believe that. Because otherwise you're going to fight the lion. If someone put me in a lion's den, I would fight the lion. I would die. But as much as I want to say, like, I want to be in there saying, all right, this is where you have me. Let the lion eat me, or let me be good. Whatever it is for your glory. I want to somehow get there.
Yeah, that's great faith.
Right. Or get to a cross where I can say, this is what you have for me.
I don't know if it was a bee or a stink bug, but... Sorry.
I was thinking along these lines. You know, we forget because we're really into ourselves, even when we don't think we are. But let's, you know, the revelation of who He is and the revelation of who we are. We are but little children, you know. Why should we, the created, think that we can understand the Creator?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the Scriptures, in a way, says, hey, look, come to me like children. You know, don't try and put yourself up, and you can find her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we just kind of just take it, look at it like that. He said, this is how you have to do it. And then He gave instances. You know, I love the one setting where the children were off making noise and being just not adult enough for the important
right.
people. And Jesus chastised them.
Mm-hmm.
Says, do not do that. You know, for they are the way. I'm paraphrasing, probably not exactly right. But He said, you know, don't be trying to put them, don't try and make them adultish. Being like little children is the way to get to heaven. And we, you know, it's hard. It's really hard to try and go to a service or a Bible study or whatever, and you're trying to understand. So you engage the brain to try and understand. And then someone comes by and says, No, don't do that. You know, that's really all wrong. So you engage it enough to understand that I need to trust God. Some of our best revelations in the last 20 years have not happened because we've been on our face before God saying, please give me, you know, teasing out this new revelation or whatever. It's happened because our hearts were open and we were seeking Him in the Scriptures. Not because we figured we were going to unlock the hidden mysteries. If you knew the Greek and the Hebrew derivative of this word off of this text in this particular setting, you know, I think we've been very careful not to go down those paths of super theologians. We've been, you know what? If our hearts are open and we're seeking Him with a pure heart, He's gonna meet us. The revelations and the anointings are gonna come. And it's not because we can say, look at me, and I've got all these letters behind my name, and I've done all of this research. It doesn't matter. You can have all of that and still be lost. As long as He's driving the bus.
I think of what it is like to be a child. The difference of childlike faith and child is I can promise, especially you men, because men are stronger and mightier and smarter in my mind. I know women don't like me to say that, but I don't care. God made a man, and we're the weaker vessel. And so I'm going to address the men, but think of when you were a child. I can guarantee that each one of you had a lot more faith and trust than you do now as an adult. You know what I mean? Because our minds grow into, just like a four-year-old doesn't see color. They don't, you know, they have different people in their classroom. They don't see color like we do.
Skin color.
Skin color. Yeah, I just didn't want to say that.
Okay,
skin color. Well, a lot of boys are colorblind too, so it could mean all the things. But you know what I mean? So if you think of like a child, because God wants us to believe. Really? And I can tell you that if Jasper reads a book, he doesn't really know exactly the difference right now between fiction and, you know, whatever. But if Brittany gave him a book and said, this book is about Daniel in the lion's den, you know, and we believe that, Jasper. Jasper will read it, and he will believe every single thing. As you get older, you look and you're like, well, how exactly, you know, like, were the lions, maybe did they have chains on them? And you start as an adult. So I can tell you the childlike... Anything that a child has mentioned, because a child has a lot more faith and trust than an adult.
Yeah.
in any, you know.
Yeah, we learn not to trust.
Yes.
We are taught, yeah, just because someone says go jump off a cliff, we're taught that might not be a good idea. So we're taught to question. And as we get older, the more we question instead of, when we, except in this case, don't question, just believe.
And like the own understanding. If I gave this to, you know, a bunch of little kids in Africa and said, here, read this, I'll check back with you in a month. And then also checked in with a bunch of religious people, there'd be a whole lot of questions and grab a book and, well, this isn't really in line with that one. So what? But a child would just be like, okay, it says rainbow here, and it says rain here, and it says storm here, and then it says rainbow. Okay, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's it's our human nature through all those years. We are the ones. It's our brain and our understanding that messes up the pure word of God, where we try and analyze.
Well, it says lean not to your own understanding. What is he saying? Like, he's saying exactly, he's saying, this word is going to mess up, it's going to mess you with your understanding. It's going to mess with it.
And it does.
Oh, it does. Like, it could say, well, you walk this way, and it's something's walk, but there could be and really, you're seeing it as swimming the other way. You know, it doesn't matter. You just believe it. You know, well, I studied for a long time, and walking that way means walking that way. So, if the other one says swimming that way, I'm going to have to eliminate one of them. You know, the best thing you can do for your soul, for your spirit, is to just take both of them. Believe both of them, and they're both true. God put both of them there. They don't make sense. Awesome. Because the Bible says, don't lean to your understanding. That is what you're supposed to not do. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. Don't lean to your own understanding.
I'll give you a scripture to back that up.
Okay.
Isaiah 54:13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Now, the interesting part about that is, Jesus quoted it in John 45. It is written in the prophets, says it a little different, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Now, the fact that he quoted it in the New Testament,
John 6:45.
Yeah. Means that it's for today.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. And I mean that's the thing that we have strived and I hope. I mean, I for sure want to keep that message going forth that anyone can be taught by God.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can be taught by the Holy Spirit. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, how much you weigh, what color you are, it doesn't have anything to do with that. Because it's actually bypassing the brain.
Mm-hmm.
When the Holy Spirit teaches, you know, it goes directly to your spirit or whatever. And so it's a promise, and they all shall be taught by God. And who better to teach than God? That's why people, they don't think nowadays, you know, so, and I didn't realize that. That changed everything in my makeup about God when I found out, yeah, I can personally be taught by God,
mm-hmm.
by the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful thing to realize.
Mm-hmm.
It sets you free. It sets you free from man,
yeah.
is what it does, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that for sure should always be our message going forth, you know,
mm-hmm.
that you can be taught, any individual can be taught by God. Now, the scholars hate that
mm-hmm.
because they want to have control over the people.
Mm-hmm.
By saying, well, no, we understand more because we've been studying all these years. And da, da, da. No, it has nothing to do with that. You can be taught from God the truth that he wants, his truth,
mm-hmm.
and his word is true, you know. So.
And a little leaven of our own brain
leverage the whole
That's
thing.
That's right.
Just a one little change,
yeah.
one little thing that we've got.
So we
got
to be open to Him
mm-hmm.
getting rid of that leaven in us, you
right.
know.
Well, and it talks about in so many places where somebody would start talking and they would be amazed because they were unlearned men and this and that.
Right.
And then even on the day of Pentecost when they're not studying, but they're all of a sudden speaking whatever the Spirit is giving them utterance, and everybody else who doesn't even speak the same language, they're hearing and understanding God. They're understanding. They don't even know what they're saying, but they're understanding, and those people are judging, you know? And so it's interesting, the perspective of if you're willing to be like, hey, look what God's doing, and letting the Spirit flow, and in that one accord, or if you're looking going, these people are drunk.
Actually, when they,
right.
it says they... The amazing part was, somebody testifies, I don't know how, but it got recorded, that, well, it sounded like they're just speaking babble. But then this person goes, but, and he names off like 25 different dialects.
Yeah.
But they're all hearing them in their own language, and these are Hebrews.
Right.
Who
yeah.
should only know one, maybe two things, you know, different dialects or whatever. But because of the gift of the tongues, they were speaking to every nation that was before them, you know. The
right, it said that there were people from every nation there, and
yeah.
that they all heard them in the language in which they came from.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit,
right.
it doesn't even matter what words you're speaking, so it doesn't matter if it says swim left or swim right. It doesn't matter. That matters to us. But the words they were speaking didn't even matter. The Holy Spirit was speaking through them, and the people who had ears to hear and understand, they understood where they were at, where they were from in their own dialect.
Yeah.
And the people who didn't want to, the multitude came. And some of the people who heard them, they heard them in their own stuff. But the people who came and were like, look what they've got going on, they're drunk. They didn't hear.
No.
They didn't see.
They
didn't
know.
Right. But they were not going there to understand.
No.
They were going there to judge. So that's where when we come in, and actually I walked home to grab more coffee, and I saw a dandelion, and I picked it, and all of a sudden I got this overwhelming kind of giggly feeling that your perspective of something completely controls whether it's a blessing or a curse in your life, if it's a good thing or a bad thing, because I used to see dandelions and think, oh, dandelions and weeds and spread and all that. Now I see a dandelion, and I'm so excited because my bearded dragons love dandelions. They're a glorious blessing. But I remember also that when I was a little kid, I wanted to pick all those dandelions. I wanted to pick them and give them all to my mom or my grandma because they were so cool. And then here I am handing her a pile of weeds to her. But those weeds, to me, as a little kid, those were beautiful blessings that I got to pick and love and enjoy. And I want to get back to that piece because that's what it is. And when I interact with anything, my kids, it could be a tornado, and they'd be like, can we jump on a trampoline? Like, just enjoy without fear of what is going on or understanding, you know? And that is glorious because I want to get to that point in my life when there's a tornado going on, I can still be like, all right, God, you gave me some rain to jump on my trampoline, but, you know, and glory in what you have for me right now, not what I see and understand. I trust. I trust that He's in control.
Yes.
And then He can talk to each of us directly.
Right. And that He'll make it right.
1 Corinthians 14:26. We suck on a lot. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a song, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, that all things be done unto edifying. And it's to each and every one of us. There's no filter. There's no collection point. It's the Holy Spirit and you.
And your willingness to battle and pray and trust.
Mm. I did like that point about for those who had an ear, they heard their own language. For the others, they just dismissed them as being drunk. That was good.
Or noise, which, I mean, that's the theme, right? Paul on the Damascus Road, you know, Paul heard certain things. He heard the word, he heard Jesus from above, right? Those who were with him just heard thunder and noise. And so there is there is a theme there of if you're right and diligently seeking, you will hear something different than those that are just sort of hanging around.
Mm-hmm. You know, those who are of the truth hear his voice.
That's right. Yep. Those who are of the truth hear my voice.
Okay, were you reading that? I just wondered that for a second.
Well, we were talking about how the Holy Spirit can teach each of us. Mm-hmm.
Where was
that?
No, you had it. I had already had it.
Oh, you have.
I already had it open.
Why are you sharing?
Yes.
You know, just to remind every one of us that we can be taught directly, that it doesn't come through a person or an organization or whatever. The Holy Spirit doesn't need anybody, but a heart that's open, seeking truth. And I was reminding people of that.
Because, you know, the scripture says, always says, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a song, a teaching, a tongue, has a revelation, and an interpretation. And, that is something that we need to work on, like, for sure. Because as a body, when we come together, who is the one with the song? Put your hands up if it's you. Anyone with the song? Who has a teaching? Well, anyway, we all talk, I don't know, but who has a teaching here? Who has had a tongue, let's say, in the last few many months? I mean, if it's you, put your hands up, right now. Who's the one with the revelation? Okay. Yeah.
I have revelation.
Good. Yes.
We all have
revelation. I think with each one at a point in time, it needs to be appointed by the Lord, anointed.
And one, they will have a tongue and an interpretation. We're missing that. We are definitely missing. So, I, as a part of the body, I would pray that we do that.
Yeah,
I think there is a lacking, mm-hmm. I think, you know,
yep.
of a full service as described by 1 Corinthians 14, mm-hmm. or that's 1 Corinthians 12 or 11 or 12 or something.
14, 26.
Yeah, but no, there is a lacking in our meetings, services.
Now, I think we probably need to qualify something here. Now, we said only from the Holy Spirit, and then we're talking about in a service somebody's giving revelation. Well, yeah, people, we, or whoever, you can give something, but it's by the Holy Spirit that you realize if it lines up with Scripture or not. Yeah, people are going to give stuff. You know, we've given lots to each other, but it doesn't become a revelation until everyone goes, yeah, I do see that, you know. Yeah, I see that too, you know. So it can come through people, but it's still the fact that, and the fact is, if you've been listening to the Word and being taught by the Holy Spirit, that gives you a little edge on recognizing if it is truth too, you know. So, I mean, we don't want to say that nothing can come through a person. Yes, it can, but you got to line it up with Scripture, you know. Right.
And let the Spirit be who's speaking through, not
yeah,
this person.
Right.
It says, don't even think about what you're going to say ahead of time. Let the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, because that's the anointing.
Mm-hmm. Which
that's
what that understanding likes to come through. Mm-hmm.
Well,
a little loving.
You know, we often say, you know, we've all prayed, you know, if God can use me, let him use me. And, you know, on some occasions there's an opportunity that you're going to go and pray for someone, and that's good. That's good. Papa was sharing with me the other day. He says, I was going to go pray for someone. And he goes, you know, but I really don't have this whole thing planned. And I went, glory. Don't you think you're going to plan it? Let God plan it. And I can say I've had two or three times in my life where I've been challenged. I don't want to say attacked. It's such a challenged about my Christianity or my walk or my church, and of course I wasn't expecting it, so my response was me, but it was God in me. And I remember someone coming in and talking to me, and there was a group of people, a bunch of Christians, who were worried about me and my church and all the brouhaha. And so there was an elected person, you go talk to this guy. You're closer to this guy than the rest of us. Came in and said, so what the heck's going on? What am I reading? You know, da da da. And I just started talking to him. And I got all done, and he just looked at me, and his eyes were wide. And he says, I've been looking at Jesus for the last 10 minutes, and the hair on the back of my head has been standing on end. I didn't even see your face. Went down, talked to the rest of the people, said, I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but I'm confident it's okay. And it wasn't me. My point is, bringing this up, is I wasn't talking. God was. I didn't try to engage my mind. This would be a good point, and this would line up with this, and this would back up that, and this fits in right here, because I'm trying to get someone to see this right here, because that's important to me. God did it. God did what he wanted to do. It turned out way better than anything I could have said. So we need to be open to not worry so much about how good we can make it and let God do it, which is the way I pray, which is why you guys look at me and go like, you don't have anything grand at all, do you? No, I don't. That's what God gives me, and sometimes it doesn't seem like a lot.
And if we stumble, it can be humiliating, but that's what God wants, is humility.
Yeah, well, isn't that the thing? I mean, it's tough to be in a ministry where when you lay hands on people and they're healed. Mm-hmm. Really tough to remind yourself that wasn't me. Mm-hmm. That could have happened even if I didn't go there, because mm-hmm. God was in charge. Mm-hmm. I just happened to be there and hanging out. And that's very casual. I mean, you can pray diligently and fervently asking for God's help. But, boy, I tell you, everyone who tries to do that ministry, because you have to remind yourself, this isn't me. Even if God is using me, it isn't me, it's God. You know, tough to keep that right up here when people get up on wheelchairs.
So there's something I wanted to share. It's kind of different subject. Candy and I went and visited Steve Smith. I'm going to share a little bit. Maybe Candy can elaborate. She's better than me at that. We went and visited Steve Smith. He's this guy, he got beat up. So he's got like no eyeballs. It's not like his eyeballs are bad, so he doesn't see, no, he's got no eyeballs. Anyways, so I did prepare a little bit because I really felt like empty. I felt like it was like seriously empty. I had nothing. So I prepared a few scriptures I wanted to read and whatever. And we were gonna pray for his eyesight, for God to give him eyeballs to heal him, right? Because here comes, you know, probably the greatest to pray for this blind guy, for Steve Smith, you know. And we get there, and I don't even know how to start, but the reason we went there was not for me to minister to him. It was for him to minister to me. And he was very humbling, but it was very from God also. And there's a guy that lost his eyesight. So, well, Steve, are we going to pray for your eyesight? He says, no. He says, if I start seeing, I'll go back to who I was. Mm-hmm. And I am happy right now. I am the happiest I ever been in my life. I'm like, this guy sounds like Paul. I mean, Paul is in jail writing a book about joy. It's like, okay, I don't remember. I'm not very good at remembering details, but I had to interrupt our conversation. Steve Smith, I never had a conversation with him, like a one-on-one. He's been in a group of people, and he's one of them, hello, whatever. And I had to interrupt. I said, everybody quiet. I said, Steve, I said, I love you. I had to say it because I felt it. And I talked, you know, on the phone with him a couple of times. And he was talking to my very good, older, younger, who cares, brother. And I don't know. Oh, man, I got a call. I don't, but anyway. And I don't know. Maybe do you want to add something or should I try to elaborate?
Well, I just, I felt I wanted to go there and I wanted to get on my knees and just pray that he has no pupil in the one eye. I mean, the eye was on his cheek when they had to put it back. The other eye, this, they did a plus sign. This one, they did a minus. So, and this eye is, so, I mean, it's blind as blind. It's the same when his eyes are shut and whatever. But we got there, and we were just there for a few minutes, and he was excited that we were there, but he was nervous that we were coming and, you know, whatever. And I haven't connected, you know, I talked to Sue and Mary and stuff over the months about him, you know, because how we felt to see him. But anyway, so I came with just humble before the Lord, give him every prayer I have in my spirit, and believe that his eyeballs just boop. And then Tom just wanted to minister forgiveness and humility things he's gone through. So we were prepared. I just was going to pray. So we got there, and I was like, Pavel's like, you know, he said, well, I was a little nervous you guys were going to come, but I was excited. He kept having to listen to our vehicle to come. And so Pavel said, Steve, you know, I just wanted to share a couple of things. And you know, we first asked him his story because we've never listened to him. We've only heard everyone else's accounts about his story. So we just let him talk for 15 minutes. And I got really excited, like, I'm just going to pray for those eyeballs. And so Pablo said, you know, we just came to encourage, whatever. And I said, Steve, you know, I said, you're blind, but you don't have to be. I said, you know what God can do. And he said, I do. And I said, God can give you new eyes, Steve. And I was so pumped up. But Pablo, he wanted to prepare some things, but he just didn't feel. Later I realized it was 100% God. But so we thought that we were going for another reason, but he said, I said, so we want to pray for your eyes. He says, no. He is, and it's okay that it's recorded, he is well known in the town. If he hasn't probably started a bar fight with you, he probably has to somebody you know. He had a big name for himself. He said, I'm thankful for right now for everything I saw in my life, but I'm thankful more now for all the things I don't see. Mm. He says, I don't want my eyes set back, Pablo. I would go back probably maybe to who I was. Mm-hmm. You know, he works for Judy Holmes. He's the receptionist at the CDC. No, CDC? Career Development Center. Yeah, in Eau Claire. He's the phone guy. Anywhere. He helps Judy. He's a life coach for some of Judy's people. He encourages them that, you know, though you have disabilities, he walks all around. He lives in Kadat because he grew up there, so his mind knows where. He walks across Highway 27 with his cane. He says, you guys, I have more joy. I got peace. And he says, I'm telling you, if I get my eyes back, I don't trust. And he says, now that I don't have my eyes, I can't even listen to a TV show where there's some, you know, father with a son, some something. He goes, I just cry. He cries a lot. But he's so vulnerable before the Lord. So he said, this is the only way that God could get me to where I needed to be. And he said, let me tell you how I am. You guys know how I know. I've known him for 30 years. How I know you know me to be, Candy. He says, I have to humble myself. I have to get rides. I have to have people show me things. I have to have people clean my bathroom after I don't know what it looks like after a week. Mm-hmm. I have to experience humility. And the first thing he showed was God gave him humility. And as soon as he said that, it just struck with Pablo because that was the first thing with Pablo. But anyways, I told Pablo later, I said, you know, we want to be servants and we want to give and give and give out. So we went there with no intention of trying to prove anything, just to give. And instead, it wasn't like God said, oh, Pablo, see, you're so great, you wanted to give, and I showed you. No, it was like, we also, God blessed us.
Oh,
So it ended, I mean, when we left, I was just sobbing. We had to get to this volleyball game. I couldn't, I was trying to drive, and I was just, and as he was talking, you know, at one point, he's like, Kitty, he says, he has his glasses on. He's like, do you need some Kleenex for those tears? So he could, I was trying to not let him know I was crying through his whole story. And while we, I said, Steve, I have to tell you, you have blessed me. I'm so affected. I can't. I tell you, being blind is the one thing I have never wanted to face.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I'm so impacted by you. He wants to go to heaven. No eyes. He never wants to see again. Which is hard. He has kids. And he'll never see his grandkids. Whatever. But I told him, I said, Steve, you have blessed me. So I thought it was going to come to give. And instead, God said, Candy, I'm going to bless you today. I'm going to pop up. You don't have to give every single minute. I'm going to bless you today. And if, I mean, I took the Kleenex, and then I said, well, I'm using my shirt, Steve, and I was trying to pretend like it was a crying. He says, yeah, but then you're going to have boogers all over your shirt, and, you know, it was just funny. But, so he really blessed us. And then he wants to, he learned that Pablo walks, and so he said that he would love to come and walk with Pablo, but he would have to put his hand on Pablo's right shoulder if he was to walk a distance. What? Well, you know, he said you're the right shoulder because he uses his cane with his right hand. And then Pablo's like, wow, my shoulder is, I can't have people touch my shoulder. I said, if you're walking with a blind guy down the street, God will let your shoulder be touched. You know, it was like the first, whatever. Anyway, when we left, we were so impacted. Now, a different thing. He was telling Pablo, apparently, when I was on the phone with Felicity, that he had some heart murmurs he needed checked.
Before you keep going, anyways, this was the meetings set up by God. I don't think I've ever been that touched in my life like a few days ago. It was just unbelievable. And anything that I had to say, I didn't say nothing.
No.
You know what I mean? And I am very happy I didn't. Now, I will talk to him, maybe, you know, a few things next time I see him. But it was incredible. It was just incredible.
We both just sat there just in awe of how great God is. But anyway,
yeah,
so we still need to pray for him. So the next day he went to have his heart murmurs that they said had checked, and they found out that he has
a leaky valve.
A leaky valve. And then they did another scan, and now he's been in constant contact with Pablo because he doesn't really, he lost connection with really in the family per se, and he keeps his circle small because he doesn't, you know, he keeps it small. So he was so thankful that Pablo and I can get together with him. But anyway, we need to pray for him because the next day he went in for the scans and he has a leaky valve, not heart murmur. And then now a few days ago he had another heart test something, and your heart is 10 at the worst, his is a 9.5. So they want to see him again next week, and they have to do a procedure really quick. So he is now a little down about that. And I thought, man, if God's carried him through for 4 years with no eyesight, so he does want continued prayer. So now, so we're not praying for his eyesight. Although I was thinking, you know, God could.
We can do it.
God can give him new eyes, and he can whatever. But he didn't want prayer for his eyesight. But I do want to now pray for his heart.
Anyways, when he was telling me this, his heart thing, I felt that God wanted to tell him, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. So I was going to tell him, but then he had to go quick for some reason. He left the phone. So I never got a chance to tell him. Then I talked to him again. I forgot to tell him.
So he is a little anxious because his heart is a 9.5 at worst, whatever.
But I never had God. You tell this to somebody, I never had it in my life until a few days ago, the first time in my life. No, God wanted me to tell him. Anyways, that's it, basically.
So we're praying about the heart, not the eyes now.
Anybody else got something?
All I know is when the two blind men came up to Jesus and asked him to be healed, and he said, remember now, you told him to be healed, but according to your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the two men, one for that real strong faith, one for that weak faith, but he left it up to their faith and what they believed. You know. So, I think when we pray for somebody, we need to know how strong our faith is in that prayer we're praying for
yes.
that person.
Amen.
Amen.